It's the Score North Twin Show.
9 days away, gentlemen. 9 days away from actual Minnesota Twins baseball. Got to figure out who's going to be coming out of that bullpen. They kind of dropped like a little injury list bomb on everyone yesterday. They're like, oh, yeah,
kick in the pants.
Duran is gone for the start of the season. Judd's guy, Di Sclafani, not going to be the number five starter.
Theobar. But the Duran one came out of nowhere.
Canarino even? Like, did you guys see? And they buried that one in there. Matt Canarino also got hurt. So one of their best pitching prospects.
They're like, shelved. Correa, Royce Lewis, both season ending. But it's going to be great. Season starting here, boys. Let's go. So, all right. Without further ado, today is the debut of the newest guest and weekly contributor on the Score North Twin Show. He is a member of John Boy Media, which I think we're all huge fans of John Boy. They've become one of the biggest digital baseball content platforms, if not the biggest in the country. Former Twin, who I covered on the Twins beat as a writer like 10, 12 years ago at 1500ESPN.com. He also does some work for Bally Sports North. You see him on TV. He is Coach Trevor Plouffe, making his debut on the Score North Twin Show. Trevor.
Oh.
SDP.
Little St. Paul Saints.
I like that. What's up, guys? Thanks. I wanted to make sure everyone knew this wasn't like a Dodger hat or something like that.
That's a good call. I mean, you do have a Dodger, some Dodger paraphernalia behind you somewhere.
We got all sorts of stuff back here, but I'm happy to be on the show. I'm happy to talk some Twins because you mentioned some of the other stuff that I do, you know, with John Boy. I got to fight against two Yankee fans, so it's always me against the world. And now I feel like this is like a safe space for me to be able to talk about the team that I love in Major League Baseball. So I appreciate you guys asking me to do this, and I look forward to it all year.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we had I think we had Jake on like two summers ago or last summer.
Yeah.
And it was going to be kind of a Twins-Yankees, you know, face-off discussion. And he basically just said, yeah, we don't think about the Twins ever. You know, it's been like 15 years of just kind of dominating you. But happy to be on and talk baseball. But that was a good time.
That's what I get all the time, yeah. Even after last year.
Well, that's a bunch of crap. I mean, the Twins won, what, for the first time in 18 years, a playoff series. And his team didn't even make the playoffs.
Exactly.
So put some respect on the Twins.
That's right, and they're not exactly headed in the right direction right now, those New York Yankees, although they got good news on Gerrit Cole, which I'm happy. I don't like seeing guys on rival teams being hurt. I don't want to cheer for that. I think the big leagues is the best when all the good players are on the field. Like, that's what you want.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So give us your thoughts just like 30,000 foot. I know that we went through a list of players that aren't going to start the season, but it's a marathon. It's 162 games. Royce Lewis, Carlos Correa, they've got one of the best left sides of the infield, maybe some starting pitching questions, but what is your sort of 30,000 foot view of this team coming off the most success they've had in 20 years in terms of winning playoff games and a playoff series? Where are you at with this Twins team, Trevor?
I could go so many different ways. I think I'll start off with Carlos Correa being a Twin is probably the most important thing that the Twins have going for them with the leadership that he's provided. And I know I think people in the Twin Cities and Twins territory have grown to like Carlos Correa. There's some national baseball fans that still remember him from the Astros and some of those things. But, you know, if you get to see him up close and personal and the work that he does and the influence that he has in that clubhouse, the Twins desperately, desperately needed that. Someone that was not only a vocal leader, but showed up and showed people how to work and to create a routine. Like, they needed that in that clubhouse. So I think having him healthy this year and having a better version of Carlos Correa is going to be paramount for the Twins, even more so than Royce Lewis. I love Royce. I think he's going to be great, but Carlos Correa to me is the guy right now. Now, if you're talking about the team in general, I think that in my opinion, there's a pretty high floor for this team. I also think there's a pretty high ceiling for this team. Position player wise, there's depth. There's so much depth there that you can withstand some injuries. Now, you don't want, you know, certain guys to go down. You want your best players on the field. The bullpen, I thought, was another place where they added so much depth, and there is depth there. The starting pitching, and I got pushback on this a little bit from Twins fans. I said I still think the Twins needed starting pitching depth, and kind of here we are already tapping into it. So if I had to pick one area where I wish there would have been a little bit more done in the offseason, I wish we would have went out and got, I mean, like Dylan Cease was there for the take, and I've been hammering that for quite some time. Obviously that didn't happen. He's a Padre now. But I think this team, if healthy and those starters can live up to expectations and, you know, perform how they performed last year, I think this team has a real shot at, you know, number one, winning the Central, and number two, like they have a shot to go deep into the playoffs. So this is about as excited as you can get.
He's going deep in the playoffs.
As a Twins fan, right? Like, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. We still need starting pitching depth, in my
right. opinion. That's the important thing, too. And so if you go in the clubhouse, which you obviously spent a long time in, Trevor, what's the feeling? And this is a baseball problem. It's not just a Twins thing. But, you know, we have been beat over the head all winter about the RSNs and the regional sports networks and uncertainty there. And, you know, Cleveland and the Twins and Texas, and I could go on and on, are saying we can't spend as much. But if you're in the clubhouse right now in Fort Myers, what's the feeling? Because I'm sure that they are internally saying what you just said, which is we got a really good team here, made the playoffs a year ago, won a round for the first time in forever, but we don't have – Gray is gone, and we don't necessarily have that depth. Is there a frustration about that? Like what's a player feeling when you're basically told financially, TV-wise, your season might be impacted by this one thing?
I think at this point in spring training, you're just like, we got our guys. We like our guys. Like you convince yourself of that. Whether that's you really, really believe it, you kind of have to convince yourself of that. As far as a TV deal goes, I know that's been a reason that's been given out to a lot of different clubs is, hey, we're going to cut payroll a little bit. I mean, the Twins got a one-year deal at, I don't know what it was, an 80% clip of what they were scheduled to receive anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure how that shakes out going towards the future. I know those RSN deals aren't going to be as fruitful as they have been in the past. I think I can say that for a fact, unless somebody big comes in like Amazon or Apple or something like that. I mean, there's ways to do it. But as a team, I think you're just ready for the season to start. You're like, we got our guys. We got a good team. You know, Paddock is supposed to be, I think internally they're counting on that guy a lot. I think a lot of fans are wondering, like, well, what's that really going to look like? So a lot of it hinges on him and how he performs. I'm fully happy and okay with Varlin being the fifth guy there. I think it plays well. But if you're asking me what the teams think right now, they want the season to start. They feel ready to go, and you know a couple of those injuries we mentioned, Duran and Theobar, and you know, that hurts, but I think they're just excited to get the season started.
Trav, I saw you tweet out last night after the Blake Snell news goes out that, I mean, how many teams would have totally been in on that type of deal with Blake Snell where he gets the opt-out in just the 2 years? I mean, I was really hoping that was going to be a thing for this team because that would have been one extra piece, right? You lose Sonny Gray, who was the runner-up in Cy Young, but you replace him with the guy who won the Cy Young in the other league. I know Scott Boras does things a certain way, but gosh, if I were the Twins, and even with the TV payroll situation that was going on, if you would have told me I could get 2 years and with an opt-out of Blake Snell, I mean, I would be running on the phone and picking it up and try to making that happen immediately.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of teams are thinking that right now. I wish I could go back to that tweet and change it from 30 teams to, like, you know, 20 teams. Because there are some teams like the Yankees, if they were to sign him, they'd be over that third level of the competitive balance tax. They're paying 100% tax on top of the whatever the average annual value is. So instead of paying $30 million, they're actually paying, like, you know, $66 million. So, like, I understand why teams like that might be out, but for the teams where the tax thresholds aren't coming into play, yeah, I think everyone should have made the offer. Now he was pretty adamant about wanting to be on the West Coast. He's got a pregnant wife. He wants to be able to, you know, be close with his family there. So, you know, were the Twins ever really an option? I don't know. If you flash a few extra dollars at guys, that changes their mind sometimes. I didn't ever think that was going to happen, but definitely, you know, for a fan, like, yeah, you look at that deal and you're saying, we could have done that. We've always heard there's no such thing as a bad one-year deal, which is essentially what this is, unless he gets blown up and gets hurt. So,
yeah, dude, yeah. We've kind of said, because the first one of these was, you know, now Boris has a model for these, and I'm sure his clients are going to go back to him at some point and be like, hey, at some point, I'd rather just sign a 6-year deal or just be realistic with me, maybe. And there's, I think there's a whole like structure of the offseason topic to dive into at some point. But if the Twins want to just be Scott Boras's backup plan, 2 years ago, Carlos Correa, hey, Twins, how about like you get him for a year and then we'll see what happens after that? Yes, use us however you want to. I think the Twins should be raising their hand going forward saying, any of your clients struggling when pitchers and catchers report, come to us. We'll give you the 2-3 year player options and make it happen, man. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think around the league, you know, teams are trying to get younger. They don't want to give out longer deals that push guys into the upper 30s, into the 40s. And you just don't want that uncertainty of those back end years. Typically, you're paying for the first, you know, 2-3 years of those contracts. You want the best production out of those years. So, if you're able to get guys and say, you'll give them the opt out, sure. Like, we want your services. Specifically for a team like the Twins who are in a win now mode, it makes a ton of sense.
On Buxton, if Buxton, and it's an if Buxton can actually play 100 or more games, I think his career high was 100 in 2017, Trev. What can this team accomplish in your mind if indeed that knee is fixed and he can consistently play? And let's say he goes to 105 or something. Like, let's not pick up an unrealistic number, but what's your expectation of what this team could do if Byron Buxton is healthy?
I mean, he's a game changer. He is an elite player when healthy and on the field, and the center field position has become a more of a defensive-minded position throughout the big leagues. If you go look at guys who are starting in center field most places, like, offense really isn't a factor. So if you have a guy out there that can go run down balls with the best of them, and be an offensive threat, just gives you a leg up on the rest of the league. I feel the same way about catcher. Like, if you have an offensive-minded catcher that can still, you know, give you some defensive stats and frame some things and hold runners at bay, like, you have a leg up. So with Byron being that kind of guy, I mean, it gives the Twins an advantage. And then you leave that DH spot open for rest days, for Kirilloff or whoever's, you know, going to be in that spot. You can platoon there as well. It just opens up the possibilities and it gives a little bit more flexibility to Rocco. I mean, a healthy Byron Buxton is a top what player in the game? Are we talking top, at least a top 20?
Dude, if he's, it's so, because we haven't seen it, but there's been chunks, you know, 2 months, 3 months where he is a top 5 or 10 player.
Yes.
If you account for just outfield defense, he's one of the best power hitters in the game per plate appearance, right? And it's, let's say it's 100 or 105. If you can get it at the beginning of the season, and then if you can get it going into October, you know, think about if you had a healthy Byron Buxton playing center field, do you win that Astros series? And he came out for like a ceremonial pinch hit, I know, but, you know, do you go to the AL? Is he alone as a player enough to where last year's team gets into the ALCS, into a 6-game situation? Like, he might be that impactful.
Yeah, maybe. I don't. It's hard to go back and play like revisionist, but he's definitely impactful. And I almost would rather go the other way. Like, let's take it easy on him early in the season. It's cold. Like, you're not going to be able to be as loose. Let's just kind of warm you up into the season. You know, maybe play some more games at DH, which might frustrate fans at the beginning of the season. But if the message is, we need this guy in September, we need this guy in October to be playing center field, then it makes sense to me. And have they put a number on the no. front office if they said we wanted to play 100 games in center field defensively?
No.
Well, I mean, I think we're all saying if we can get Byron Buxton on the field, and DH included, for 125 games, I think we'd sign up for it.
Yep.
I think like 100 and...
I hear the music.
That's
here
a big
go,
that's
go.
A huge win. 125?
Right, like 135 games would be like top notch. I'd rather those center field days come later in the year. So I'm hoping they kind of take that, you know, path.
Trev, where would you probably bat him though? Like, this lineup's pretty loaded and he's obviously, if he's a full go, you can't like banish him to the bottom of the lineup like I tried to do in my mock lineups like a few months ago when I was just grasping for content. But at the same time, do you bat this guy second? Do you bat this guy like fifth in the middle? Where would you maybe bat Byron Buxton on opening day, assuming he's healthy and good to go.
Just, you know, Dex put him ninth in one of his iterations, and he's got to earn his way back.
We jumped him immediately.
No love the ninth, Dex. I'll say that. You know, that the thing is, the Twins can go so many different ways. Like, there's some really talented hitters, and I think kind of depends on what you want to do with Julian. Like, where is he going to hit? Like, I don't think you want to bat Buxton lead off necessarily, but I could see him slotting in at second, third, or fourth. No, if he's healthy. So you have your options. I like the two hole for him. Maybe Julie. I like Julian leading off. So leading off
against righties, you know, for sure.
Buck. Yeah, like there's just a lot of different ways they could go. I think the Twins are so flush with position players, especially that are, you know, at the AAA level, that are already on the roster. Like, that's why I called for a trade of Dylan Cease. Like, there's a lot of position player depth in your organization that you can kind of go and use to bring back an area of need. So there's just a lot of ways you can go with this lineup.
Speaking of that, where do you think, and I think it's going to happen, Trev, at some point during the season, where do you think Brooks Lee slots in? Because he has been, I mean, he is making a serious bid to make this opening day roster. I don't think he does because of how the numbers are going to work. But, I mean, this kid looks like he is for real. Switch hits. Where do you think he eventually slots in at some point, let's just say in June?
I've been having these discussions, actually, and David Popkins, the Twins hitting coach, I don't know if everyone follows his Instagram, go ahead and do that, because all he posts is like his guys hitting homers from like the side. It's awesome.
Look at how great of a coach I am. Yes.
I'm like,
470-foot bomb right there.
It's awesome. So I actually texted him, and I was like, hey, man, like, tell me about Brooks Lee. Like, what is this guy for real? Like, he looks great, and he's got so much confidence in him, just like most of the people who make decisions in the Twins organization. So I don't really know. I keep forgetting the Twins signed Carlos Santana, because in my mind, like, oh, just Julian can go to first base and Brooks Lee can play second and all this. But you bring a guy like Santana in, like, he's going to play there. I don't know where he fits in. I really, really don't. I mean, do you move Julian to the outfield? Do you take up that DH space? And now you're kind of, again, but like, just a logjam of people.
It's kind of crazy.
Should not be in the outfield, I don't think.
No, but you need, in terms of lineup, even like I think part of these are champagne problems, by the way. Where does Brooks Lee elbow his way into a great infield with? But to your point, Carlos Santana, I think a lot of the metrics like Fangraphs and defensive run save would show you that first base defensively was a problem for the Twins last year. Even in his old age, Carlos Santana was rated the best defensive first baseman, so he helps fix a problem there. He might bat leadoff against what? Is it against left-handed pitching? He's got the higher OPS, the higher because we had in our iteration the other day, we had Julian actually out of the lineup against lefties. But then Kirilloff is one of their best young prospects still and is tearing the cover off the ball at AAA, so...
Yeah.
These are champagne problems right now if all these guys start to pop in the next 2 months.
Someone's got to move. You got to move someone, I believe. And I'm a big believer in Alex Kirilloff. And I got to watch him hit up close and personal last year quite a bit and down in the cage and just kind of understanding his maturity level and how he thinks about hitting and swing path and his cadence and all these things. Like, I think he's a real deal big league hitter. He doesn't necessarily have a position. But you can find a lot of teams that are looking for guys that can hit in the big leagues. So, like, if Brooks Lee does, I don't think he's cracking the roster on opening day, but if he does go down and do what everyone thinks he's going to do and forces his way onto the roster at some point this season, you're going to have to make a move. Like, that's just the bottom line.
So let's put Brooks Lee on what I like to call the Trevor Plouffe plan as a young man. You're a shortstop, but you'd get moved positionally. How difficult is that? So if Brooks Lee goes and opens the season in St. Paul, and you know that he's not playing short, and you assumed that he was going to play second, but as you just said, now Julian's playing second because you've got Santana. If you move him, like, give him some days in the outfield, things like that. How difficult of ask is that? If you just decide that his bat is so damn good that there has to be a place at Target Field for him, even if it's not like an ideal everyday position.
I don't like the idea of moving him to the outfield. I think he can move to different infield positions and you can figure it out. You know, a shortstop can usually move around the diamond on the infield. You know, second base is probably a little bit harder than third base to learn, just because of some of the angles and going away from first base. You know, third base is still the same directionally. Mm-hmm. Second base used to be difficult because guys will blow you up when you were turning a double play. That's completely out the window now, so you don't have to worry about that. I would keep him in the infield and figure that out, because I think once you move a guy to the outfield, like, there's just a little bit of added pressure. Like, it's so different. I'm not saying he couldn't do it, not athletic enough to do it, couldn't learn it, but during the season to do that, especially your rookie year when, like, things are, they're just different. Like, I don't care how good of a player you are, like, you come up, like, it's, unless you're like Julian, who, like, I don't, like, love the guy so much, like, I don't think he thinks about the big leagues. He's one of those guys that's just like, I'm a hitter. Like, what's this? Just a pitch coming this way. I'm going to hit it that way. Like, that's what he does. You know, coming up as a rookie, it would be very difficult for him to come up and play outfield right away as a rookie.
Okay.
So I'll keep him in the infield.
Trev, what do you make of Wallner kind of getting off to a slow spring start? And look, you know it better than anyone. Spring training stance, to a degree, probably mean next to nothing, but it looks like he's striking out a lot. I would say he's probably still going to make this roster, but he had such a great, promising 2023 season. But now he's entering a new big league season. There's no more scouting reports, more info on him. What do you make of a guy like Wallner who is off to a slow start in spring? And does that affect him once opening day starts? Or is this just him still just getting his swing right and trying to figure out what type of hitter he is?
You know, I'm not in his mind. I mean, it obviously bothers you if you're not getting hits in spring training. You want to feel good going into the season. But there's also the party that's like, dude, when the lights turn on, I'll be fine. And there is something to be said about a sophomore season and the league being able to adjust to you. And can you make the adjustment back? I mean, that's the mark of a good player. It's the mark of a guy that's going to stick around. So, you know, he still has stuff to prove. Like, I think he is a great big league hitter and will be a great big league hitter. But, like, we got to see it still. I think he's going to be entrenched in left field to start the season. And if it happens where he's not making those adjustments, then, yeah, he's got the options and come back down. And yeah, he has two options left. So, yeah, he can come back down and make some adjustments. But I don't see the spring training affecting his chance to make the roster.
Yeah. We're going to do every week. And by the way, you're on spring break next week. So we'll pick up after the season starts and we'll be weekly for Tuesdays with Trevor. And I want to put the bat signal out right now for people in the YouTube comment section. We just launched a new, we have three YouTube channels now at Score North. Purple Daily, we've got the Score North channel, and then as of 2 weeks ago, the Score North Twin Show channel. So if you haven't already, click the like button and the subscribe button on there. It helps us grow the show too when you give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify. But as you're making your comment, let us know what your dumb baseball questions are. Because we've got a former big leaguer here, man, like a decade in the big leagues, what, 12, 15 years in professional ball. This is a safe space, I think, anyways, for people to ask dumb baseball questions. And so we'd love to stockpile a bunch of them going forward. We can get to one or two a week and shout out listeners. I've got a couple that we can start with. And I've got what's not really a dumb baseball question, but I think people would love to know, you know, they followed your career. And then all of a sudden, you're like one of the faces of one of the biggest digital sports media companies. How did you decide to get into media after your playing career was winding down? And then how and why John Boy for you, Trevor?
You know, honestly, when I stopped playing baseball and just decided I didn't want to do it anymore, I didn't want to travel anymore. I wanted to get as far away from baseball as possible. I think a lot of guys have that feeling. They want to prove like, hey, I'm not just a baseball player. So I did some different things or tried some different things out. But I, you know, like real estate, like there was like a hemp oil production situation on. I don't know anything about any of those things. You know what I know about? Baseball. And my connections are in baseball and my area of expertise is baseball. So I kind of figured that out. You know, that was after like a year and a half out of the game. And then as far as, you know, John Boy, I just enjoyed what he was doing on social media. So I reached out to him over Twitter or X now. And him and Jake were coming out to Southern California to do something with Easton. And I just threw it out there. Hey guys, you're like right where I live. Let's meet up and have a beer. And they agreed and we met up and I had this whole grand plan to tell them, I want to invest in your company, which like, I didn't even know they really had a company at that point.
Yeah.
So I had this big idea, and as I made my way over there, I actually got a call from a guy, and he's like, "Hey, I heard you're meeting up with John Boy." And I said, "How do you know that?" And he goes, "We just pitched him an investment deal." And I was like, "Well, I was going to do that. Why did you guys do that?"
Wow.
So
now it's a bidding war before you've even had beers.
Yeah. So I was like, "Listen, like, I want to be in that group. Let me meet these guys. If I like them, like, then I want to be in that group." And I met him. We kicked it off. We had a great time. Like, we just talked ball. Like, they're very down to earth. Like, and they are actually knowledgeable baseball fans, which I liked. And yeah, so it worked out that way. Actually, I ended up investing first. Told them I wanted to be on the show, and it's just from that point on, it's, you know, just been kind of engulfed in this business, and it's really been fun to see it go from where it was to where it is now. And a lot of that's, it's not me. It's you know, John Boy, Jimmy O'Brien, is, he's got a great mind for things and a great vision, and he's been a really, really good leader for the company, like making it feel like a family. And shoot, man, we got offices in Manhattan now. It's like crazy. It's nuts. It's,
yeah,
awesome.
Did you think too, Trev, at like 24, 25 years old when you were coming up with the Twins, that 12 years later, 13 years later, you're going to be doing media? Was that something that was ever on your radar, or not even remotely on there as you're breaking into the big leagues?
No, because all the guys that I like were my mentors, like, told us to stay away from the media and didn't like the media. Phil, I'm sure you've got some of that from me, some, you know, bad looks every once in a while, but
you treated me really well. I think, I mean, I don't know, maybe you did for other guys, but you treated me pretty well. So
thank you. I never was trying to be mean to anybody, but I was definitely guarded. And then you start to realize, especially now that I've been in the clubhouse, like, everyone's just trying to do their job, man. Like, I get that you had a bad game, but I'm doing my job. Can you just like help me out a little bit? So I try to give the guys that perspective now when I'm in the clubhouse. I'm like, just answer questions, bro. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, do what you have to do. And I think it's a little bit, players are a little bit more open to it now because of social media and because they realize, like, hey man, like, if I'm out there, like, it's kind of good for my personal brand a little bit. Whereas when I was playing, it was very much like, don't say anything, you know, don't. We got told not to wear Twins gear or even tell people we played for the Twins. They didn't want us billboarding. And now you see guys like repping it. And I think it's just so cool. I think the game in that regard has gotten so much better. Guys understanding the power of the media and what it can do, you know, to help you.
So don't wear Twins gear in public back then, or like when?
Never. No.
Really? That's really interesting.
I mean, you guys
idea.
Did have like a 99 loss season, so it might have been kind of embarrassing to wear your Twin shirt, you know, after that. Wait, didn't you have the walk-off hit to avoid 100 losses in one of those years?
Yeah, that's when we dogpiled, and Michael Kadire said that was the most embarrassing moment out of baseball.
I
didn't dogpile. I just hit it, bro.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, so, Trev, because you've done podcasts now, studio work, and in the booth work. If you were the producer of baseball for a day, especially on broadcast in the booth, and could change one thing, what do you think you've learned from like the podcasting world, which is way more casual, that could be incorporated to the booth? Because the one thing that strikes me is baseball broadcasts now are often very old school, right? You're wearing a suit and tie. You're supposed to look and talk a certain way. If you could share your overall experience to improve the actual broadcast game day experience, what would you change?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and a lot of people are, you know, are asking or think that like the Manning cast thing is where we need to go, where it's just a couple guys sitting around talking ball. Like, I think that can work in some regards. I like a little bit of mixture of both. I think like having a traditional play-by-play guy to keep you on the rails and then having some more kind of off discussion, I think that works well together. I don't necessarily like, and we're going to try some of that this year with Bally. So it's just going to be players and we're just going to kind of do it. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to do my best there. I like the mixture of the two. But I will say this, and I think that every media member or people that are representing the game and players too, it's an entertainment business. So like entertain, like try to be entertaining. Like that's the biggest thing. Like when you're sitting at home, like that's what you're doing. You're relaxing. You want to be entertained by what's going on. So try to do that the best way you can. Like, and that's from the broadcasting side. Like when you're at the game, I think there's so many things baseball could do to make it more entertaining and make it fun for kids that can't necessarily pay attention to the intricacies of a baseball game. Like, there's more things we could be doing. And I think if everyone just thought, hey, man, it's entertainment.
Yeah. It's a TV show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a 3-hour TV show. I mean, I just added for a future dumb baseball question. Let's make a list of things baseball can do to make games or the experience more entertaining. That could be.
I got a million of them. I think about it all the time. I really do.
We'll put a pin in that and circle back for a different episode.
I'll give you one right now. The Rangers, I believe, just added they're going to have a cheer squad. Or was that the Mets? One of the two.
The Mets, right?
Yep. The Mets did.
Great. Every team should do it. Why not?
I can just hear Mets fans like, wait a second, we just slashed a bunch of payroll and we're adding a cheer squad. What are we doing?
Pelt them with tomatoes.
Mets fans will never complain about a payroll again with that owner. So
yeah, that's a good point. Awesome, man. Hey, Trevor Tuesday, number one in the books on the Score North Twin Show.
Love it.
We're pumped, man. We're pumped to have you on.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
So there he is. You can follow him too on Twitter, obviously. And if you haven't already, maybe you're a Twins fan who like hasn't dabbled in a couple of Trevor's podcasts. They've got several YouTube channels, podcast feeds, but the two that you're directly involved in on a weekly and daily basis are Talking Baseball and Baseball Today, right? And you can find YouTube channels. JM Baseball is where Baseball Today is. John Boy Media Baseball. Yeah. And then Talking Baseball has its own YouTube channel too. So
Baseball Today is an easy listen. It's 30 minutes. Me and Chris Rose going back and forth on questions. Talking Baseball is a little more in depth, a little more not serious, but definitely silly, but a little bit more in depth on the games and stuff.
All right. Trevor Plouffe. Awesome stuff, man.
Thanks, Trevor.
We'll see you in a couple weeks. Enjoy your spring break next week, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Score North Twin Show. We'll see you guys later this week for a random Twin of the Week on Thursday.